Starting with the things I haven't said enough of. Starting with the day you changed my life, and ending with the way I feel tonight. Where do I begin?
Where do I County belong? Award winner Idina Menzel originated the Broadway roles of Maureen in Rent and Elphaba in Wicked. She's recently appeared in Glee as the coach of Vocal Adrenaline, a rival Glee club, and she's currently on a cross-country symphony tour where she performs with notable orchestras. This Saturday, she'll bring her repertoire of show tunes, pop music, and songs from her solo album, My Stand, to New York's Avery Fisher Hall, where she will be accompanied by the New York Philharmonic. And I'm very pleased that it has brought her back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So you've done theater, TV, movies. Now you're making your debut with the New York Philharmonic. Yeah. Is this something you ever fantasized?
No. It's pretty surreal. And then Marvin Hamlisch is conducting as well. So it's pretty incredible.
Well, it's one thing to perform in a Broadway show where you have a nice size pit orchestra. It's another thing to have the New York Philharmonic and try to project over that. Well, you use a microphone, I'm assuming.
Yes, we do use a microphone. Although there is a moment in my show where I choose to put the microphone down and just sing something a cappella in the acoustics of the hall, which is always nice. But it's thrilling. It's thrilling to stand in front of any symphony, and then to add to it the New York Phil.
And then they're playing your songs that you composed. It's almost like an ego trip.
Well, no, only one, honestly. We only do one original song. We do a lot of songs from the shows that I've been in, and we do some standards. And but yes, to hear my music director, his name is Robert Mounsey. He plays piano as well for me. He has come up with some incredible arrangements that the musicians always sort of compliment him after the concerts, that they really enjoy his arrangements, that he uses the instrumentation, the instruments, and in the, I guess there's a specific way where sometimes certain arrangements don't use their abilities in the right way, or they're sitting around a lot and not playing, and somehow he's encapsulated everyone. And so it's been a really, really wonderful experience. And I find that the being from the theater, I stand up there and I can sing, use my full voice and a whole spectrum of different dynamics, and yet I can still be intimate with the audience and tell a story and connect with them.
Well, a lot of this music is the sort of thing we associate with cabaret, and a singer with maybe a trio.
True, except, if you sing Defying Gravity from Wicked, it's a huge wall of sound in the theater. So I think that the reason why it's been really resonating with my audience is because they feel that they're getting a window back into, the show a little bit, or and it's the drama of it, the theatricality of the whole event, the moment is, for me, just exhilarating, and hopefully somewhat for the audience.
Well, the last time you were on this program, you talked about growing up on Long Island and going to the theater with your parents as a child. Did you go to the Philharmonic? Did you see those kinds of concerts?
No, I did not.
Did you listen to a lot of classical music?
No, my parents, they listened to Barbra Streisand and Neil Diamond, and that's about the extent of it. They didn't even listen to the Beatles. I have a problem with them for that.
The Beatles did perform with a symphony orchestra.
That's even doubly worse. No, but they did bring me in to see a lot of theater, but no, we didn't see opera and we didn't see the New York Phil, and so I've had to catch up in my later years.
Well, I understand you all did sing at weddings and bar mitzvahs earlier
career,
which I'm sure added to the versatility. But what happened if somebody came up and said, Melancholy Baby, did you sing it? What about Rosenkissmet Mannlein? Did you know the lyrics?
I didn't know those, but I knew a lot of songs. I started out with about 10 songs when I got my first wedding job. I knew The Girl from Ipanema, so in case they called a bossa nova. I knew Someone to Watch Over Me, and My Funny Valentine. And I knew, I forget what it was, a Whitney Houston song, probably The Greatest Love of All, and Evergreen. And that pretty much, took over the main categories that I could cheat for. And then each week I would learn about 5 more songs. And by the end, I had a huge repertoire.
Is that where you learned to adjust to any kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Because your career has taken you all over the place.
I think that you definitely, you build a thick layer of, you know, of your skin doing those kind of jobs because people aren't listening to you. They're not appreciating you. And so you really have to have confidence in what you're doing and your talents and that, you know, that I was going to move on to something else. And also I used it as a place to really hone my skills and, you know, listen to Ella Fitzgerald and copy her, emulate her, right, you know, during a bar mitzvah when nobody was paying attention.
Well, I'm wondering about now the other side, the prestigious group of musicians at the New York Philharmonic that you're asking to play a rendition of Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Well,
how have they reacted to the symphonies you've performed with so far?
That's a very good question. I think we have a blast, but, you know, I don't want to be so presumptuous to say that maybe they leave and they're just like, oh, what the, you know, is this girl doing? But I think it's a breath of fresh air for them. I don't take it seriously, and it goes along with, you know, a funny experience I had with my Glee experience. So
that was the song that was performed on Glee.
Yes. And so but also to hear it orchestrated for all these musicians is pretty incredible. It sounds beautiful, although I'm singing about things that I can't really talk about on air right now. But, you know, so I think that we have a good time. I like to try to aim to crack a smile in some of the musicians standing behind me because they always start really well behaved. And then, you know, by the end of the show, I hope to get them to laugh a little bit.
Well, you played Michelle's mother on Glee.
Yeah, that was a great day.
I don't know whether they cast you because you're perfect for the part or because the two of you look so much alike. You really do look like
you
could be a mother
and child. Yeah, we have a lot of similarities. Yes. But the day that I got that call, you know, it's not the greatest day when you're turning 40 soon and, you know, you realize that you're playing 24-year-old mother, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, you were playing older than you are.
Well,
you'd have to have been 16
not really.
Or so.
It's all really, you know, palatable. But still, I had just had the baby, and I was feeling sort of overweight, and didn't know if I'd ever work again. And Glee called, and I had to jump to it, and it was obviously because it's a great show. But for me, it wasn't the most glamorous experience because of the way I was feeling at the time.
My guest is Idina Menzel, who is performing at Avery Fisher Hall this Saturday at 8 p.m. with the New York Philharmonic. Your baby was born 17 months ago?
Yes, September 2nd.
I'm assuming you sing some very nice lullabies.
We sing some nice lullabies, and my husband and I sing some sort of weird, you know, compositions that we come up with on the spot. And I've got my first shush from my child the other day. He was not, he like winced his eyes. He was not interested in hearing me sing. And I thought, oh God. But
wouldn't that be terrible? You and Tay Diggs, your husband, both sing.
Yes.
If your kid grew up not liking music.
Well, he's used to, you know, it's what he knows. It's mom and dad constantly singing to him ad nauseum. He doesn't realize that, you know, some people actually, you know, buy a ticket to hear us sing. But we write our own compositions. We write lots of, you know, we have a rap, we have a jazz tune, we write a traveling song that we have, and the two of us end up getting in arguments with each other over, you know, how the song should be written, whether it should go to verse, to bridge, whether it's in the right key for both of our voices. And there, the poor baby's been on the changing table in the middle of his poopy, and mom and dad are fighting about their music.
Well, of all the things to fight over when there's so many more important things to
exactly.
fight over. But instead of having conversations over the dinner table, you probably have song fests.
Exactly.
You were here once to talk about the movie Ask the Desk. Is it important for you to do as many different things as possible to avoid being pigeonholed?
It's important to do as many things as possible just to keep a balance in life, I think. You know, 8 shows a week can get really tiring, and as wonderful as it is, it can burn you out. And then being in a studio recording your own music can be very solitary and lonely. And so I think it's just about moving back and forth and surrounding yourself with different kinds of people that makes me feel more alive.
Well, different venues as well. You also, so you're going to be at Avery Fisher Hall, but you were at the White House this past summer?
Yes, that's all sort of a blur for me because the president was sitting literally a foot away from me, and I was so nervous and worried that I was just like spitting on him with every high note that I was singing. But yes, that was one of the best experiences of my career so far.
Well, since we're talking about politics, have you heard that Glenn Beck recently praised the Spider-Man musical and comparing it to Wicked?
No, I don't listen to anything Glenn Beck has to say, but I don't know how he praised. How did he praise it? What did he say?
Well, he said that there were similarities.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
You did fewer
preview performances, I'm sure.
Well, I have a chip on my shoulder about all that kind of stuff. I haven't seen Spider-Man, and I'm a huge fan of Bono, U2, and Julie Taymor, so I would probably have nothing bad to say. But for being very defensive about Wicked and how he's having gotten a bad rap because we had this big budget, it sort of, I felt like it distracted people from seeing this wonderful, smart story and great characters. And just because we had a huge production, somehow we were, you know, targeted for the materialism of all of that. And so it just gets me.
But that's the way of musicals today, isn't it? I mean, if you don't have a helicopter descending at some point.
Right, but it's the Wizard of
Oz. In your case,
Oz.
you had aerial components. Didn't you injure yourself?
I did. Is that why he was? I didn't even know.
Maybe that's
who
why
I was. Well, yeah, I did injure myself, but lots of people injure themselves in theater. It's a dangerous game, and you know, we're working late hours, and there's high stakes, and but you know, the people that work backstage, the crew, are some of my best friends, and they've protected me and looked out for my safety for many years, so you know, there's a flip side to all of that.
Mm. So what are you going to be working on after you do this tour? How many cities have you done this with, and how many symphony orchestras?
Gosh, I wish my manager was here, because I probably have played now about 30 cities. I just did St. Louis last Sunday.
So you say it's Houston. It must be Thursday because it's the Houston Symphony?
You know, my baby was up last night from 1 to 4, so I'm sort of reading your lips right now.
Well, it's good that you got out of St. Louis when you did,
exactly.
Because right now they closed down
storm,
I-70,
right?
Between, yes, Kansas City and St. Louis.
Yeah, but what I do is, because I'm so determined to spend as much time with my child, I take a red eye. I put him down to bed at, let's say, 7:30 L.A. time, and then I get on the red eye to anything East Coast. I get there, I wake up 6 in the morning, we do a sound check, I do the show, and then that was a matinee, so 3 o'clock show, got back, actually watched the New York Jets in the lounge at the St. Louis airport.
Painful experience.
And it was painful. Painfully exciting. It was so exciting, but I won't talk football with you right now.
I hear that there's a nonprofit theater camp in the works.
Why are you laughing at that?
No, because I'm not sure I even want to watch the Super Bowl now.
Oh, exactly. I know.
It's anticlimactic.
For me, it is.
Poor Jets fan, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the nonprofit theater camp?
I could talk about that all day. The not-for-profit camp. You keep
laughing
when I say the not-for-profit, but it's not about the not-for-profit. It's about the Jets.
Look, I work for a not-for-profit, so.
I went to summer camp when I was a kid, and I had the best summers, years of my life, and I always wanted to own a camp. And then as I've gotten older and I've been in these terrific shows that have connected with young audiences, my aspirations changed somewhat, in that I want the camp to be for kids, obviously, that can't afford that experience. So
and then your own kid can go there at some time.
Of course. And it's called A Broader Way Foundation, and our first initiative is a summer camp. But let me just say real quick what I think is so great about it is, actually, Janine Tesori is going to be our creative director, and we're going to put on an original production with these girls based on their contributions and their writings and music and all that.
So it's Red Bank tomorrow in New Jersey.
Yes.
And then Avery Fisher Hall on Saturday.
Yes.
Adina Menzel and the New York Philharmonic at Avery Fisher Hall at
8 p.m. I'm so happy to be here.
And for more information, go to our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you again so much, Adina, for being with us.
Thanks for having me. You're the best.